Seymour Butts.
How do you do?
It's your real name.
Yes, indeed.
Which is handy. This is regarding an album called Gay in the Life, but it includes some other names like Novadose.
Mm-hmm.
So a name really does help, having the right name for a product.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, at the end of the day, it's all labels anyway. But, yeah, if you can entertain as well as inform, why not?
Mm. This is an alternate version of music, like, within the queer community, and it's come out just at the right time with Mardi Gras being here again.
Yeah, alternative maybe. I think it's like a complementary therapy more than alternative. I think it sort of coexists quite happily with the one-dimensional cheese that we get anyway.
Yep.
I think this is just, you know, just a fancy savoury biscuit to put that cheese on.
Right. I had a good listen to this album last night.
And how'd you go?
It all sounds good, as in it's all interesting to listen to.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Right, so I expected it might be like more of a thrashy alternative, because I'm a real fan of Pansy Division.
Yep.
But there's not anything like that on the album.
No, well, I considered the option of going, you know, the full, you know, I grew up listening to Mudhoney and, you know, Tool and some, you know, nasty guitar bands, and I'm aware of sort of Pansy Division and Sugar and sort of the outboy rock thrash thing, but for me it's been done as far as, you know, I don't think I could come near Pansy Division as far as what they've done with, you know, just melding in your face homo erotic lyrics with, you know, mean guitars.
Yeah.
And wanted to take this on a different journey that was more of a sort of make-out album vibe, make it a bit sleazier. And also, you know, bring some themes, you know, some pretty emotional themes in that I don't think haven't been touched in sort of gay music circles. Yeah.
True, yeah.
So, well, yeah, just sort of buttering the other side of the piece of bread, really.
It'll fit in well, like many people, if they've got even what they consider to be a good broad CD collection, they probably won't have anything that's quite like this. So it will have a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, I just think it reflects what sort of diverse community we've got out there, and there's lots of kids making music in their bedrooms or, you know, in clubs or wherever that doesn't get a release or doesn't get heard on the radio or doesn't get into people's lounge rooms just for the fact of there's no one out there willing to support it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, as a gay boy, I think I've been culturally misrepresented by the, you know, Glad to Be Gay, etc. style compilations that have been bombarded, flooding the market for the last 10 years or so on. And this is just sort of readdressing that
right.
Balance. And also giving it a really Aussie focus as well.
Yep.
Saying, well, we don't have to be this, you know, cultural outpost sponge of what's going on, you know, in European markets. We've got really talented musicians, producers and vocalists here. So, you know,
that's
let's
right.
Give them the bat and ball for a minute.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those compilations, hey, like Glad to Be Gay, etc., as you're saying, they tend to be songs that are put out by, like, no one with any particular politics or agenda to do with being gay, except they want to make money by selling us songs.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think a lot of those compilations, you know, they, you know, at the end of the day, condescending, almost, because... you know, the programming's one-dimensional and the production's cheap, yet they think, you know, just with a cheesy synth line, somehow, you know, the gay community will embrace it and you know, make them lots of money. It's, yeah, pisses me off, my friend. So rather than just get angry and bitch about it, the idea was to, you know, be proactive and create something special and new.
Yep. There are particularly confronting songs on this. I first, about a week ago, listening to Triple J at work, our radio is stuck on Triple J, otherwise I'd listen to 4ZZZ, of course.
Yeah.
But they played Gay Sex Guru, and I was surprised because Triple J don't have an overtly positive stance towards gay men and lesbians.
No.
From what I pick up, and it's useful then to have songs that they can play and do this. The good thing I think about Queer Radio, Docs and Mics, is we talk gay issues, and Triple J, I think, should be doing more of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's the serious love-hate relationship that we all have with Triple J, because, you know, they're better than the commercial crap or having to listen to John Laws or Alan Jones or something like that.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, everyone sees them as the saviour for, you know, new and independent music, and unfortunately their agenda's, you know, too broad to make everybody happy. And fortunately that actually gives strength to community radio, because it means people will turn into community radio because they're not being satisfied by the national youth broadcaster. So in a way it gives strength to community radio, but for I was in the radio when they played Gate Sex Guru, and yeah, it brings a tear to a boy's eye to hear a track like that, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I have never ever kissed a boy before. I have never entered via the back door. But I wanna know, when I do it, will I do it right? I've never been to no Mardi Gras. I've never had that action from near or far. But I wanna know, when I go there will I party right? Won't you be my gay sex guru? Don't you know there's a lot I wanna learn from you? Never sniffed amyl on the dance floor. But I wanna know, when I do it, will I do it right? I have never dated no leather man. I've never had the pleasure of his leather hand. But I wanna know, when I feel it, will I feel it right?
Relate to when I was growing up in Tassie, and Yeah, hopefully times have changed now. Well, I received an email from a young boy in the suburbs of Hobart who picked up the album in a local record store and is inspired to go and make music and happy to be a poofdar. And so it's touched someone in a really positive way. And
that's great.
The thing. I wanted to bring some sort of sense of pride back into the community so our music didn't have to be this cringe shutter factor, but something we can celebrate and be, you know, be happy to hear on the national broadcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good thing is, I was saying to Deb from Docs and Mics just before this, that not all the tracks are, like, lyrically about being gay or lesbian, but it's a combination. And, like, some are in your face, some are meaningful, some are purely musical tracks. But if when they're combined like this, even if, as an artist, when you're gay or lesbian, you're putting a lot of yourself into your music when there are no lyrics, by associating it with other work, it has probably more direction towards gay men or lesbians.
Fantastic. We definitely tried to make the compilation as a whole, and there's lots of different textures and emotions and moods and themes coming throughout the compilation, but that just is a reflection of how diverse we are as people anyway. We aren't this one-dimensional, it's 3 a.m. on the dance floor with an ammo bottle under our nose. That's not the complete story of who we are. You know, we are this. And, you know, some of the songs are really, there's, you know, definitely a theme of dead lovers that runs through the album, and I think especially our community have, you know, we've been devastated by HIV, and now, you know, at a turning point to come to terms with, you know, survival, a realistic survival plan on that. It has been a tough, you know, a really emotional journey to go through there, and this somehow reflects, the album we hope, you know, reflects that side of emotion of our community, that we're not in denial about that. It's not all about being happy all the time and just, yeah, and getting fucked up. There are deep emotional questions that we're always, you know, pondering and trying to resolve. And music's a good tonic and a good cathartic process to get through those sort of emotions, I think.
True. Yeah, Robert Fripp, most recently there was an excellent DVD that's been put out of King Crimson live.
Oh, wow.
And it's really great stuff if you like Robert Fripp.
Yeah.
But he makes a great deal of pain in his liner notes to point out to musicians, like, he says, if you haven't got a record contract, first thing you should know is the most important thing in life is to be true to yourself as an artist. Don't compromise for anybody, no matter how many dollars they throw at you or how often they say, we want you to put out a hit single. If you don't want to do it, if you don't think it's right, or if you're just doing it for the money, don't. But it makes it hard then for musicians to put food in their mouths and keep their artistic integrity together.
Yeah, absolutely. Fortunately, we didn't have to compromise at all on this album. We put it together as, you know, as a gay concept album, and had to shop it around. Lots of people just weren't interested in it, didn't think it was valid, a project. Unfortunately, I didn't have the money myself to release it, and came across, you know, Warren Fay, who's had, you know, decades of experience in the music industry, and he saw its relevance, you know, culturally as well as artistically, and you know, put it out. There was no edits we had to make with any of the any of the language on the album. You know, we didn't, you know, deliberately want to put on, you know, a hit single or anything like that. The songs came to us as they did, and it came, you know, really well rounded.
Yeah.
You know, whereas on the other hand, I've worked for a gay and lesbian radio station that wanted to release a record label, you know, release a compilation album. And the record label was pushing for, you know, well, it has to have Madonna, and it has to have Cher, and it has to have Gina G. And, and I just couldn't associate myself with a project like that, because it's just, you know, it's that false cultural economy thing coming back into it.
Yep.
So, being able to focus on our Aussie artists, no matter what sort of genre of music they're pushing, to be able to embrace them is, you know, it feels good. It doesn't feel as though we're selling out or anyone's compromised at all.
It's funny when you meet a new person, or you talk to someone you've always found attractive, and later you may wonder what are these kisses. We have a lot in common. You like the same kinds of music. You like the taste of saliva and the smell of skin.
One of the more confronting songs on the album, or it's an honest song, is it's What Are These Kisses?
Yeah.
Okay, and I've recently met Anatoly Frusin. He's working here at QUT, and he was directing an opera like The Rape of Lucretia here, and he's a really lovely man, but you're listening to the song and you're hearing a woman sing how much she appreciates like having a cock inside her and all this, and then you're thinking, well, it's a universal statement, this, and it's written by a man.
Yeah.
So a lot of the works that people listen to, they're often too tied up in who's singing and what the pronouns mean rather than what the songs mean.
Yeah.
As long as the songs are honest and the people, the artists, as they present songs are honest, and they don't go around changing meanings to suit themselves, I think. That can be helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a track like that was put together by, you know, written by Anatoly, who's a proud gay man. You know, the composition was put together by Nick Wales and Drew Crawford, who are both, you know, amazing gay boy composers. And, you know, their perspective is, you know, this could be the fairy godmother singing to you or anything like that. But, yeah, definitely the experience is universal. It's not about exclusion of, you know, this is our music. It's, I think everyone can find some sort of interpretation within that.
Yep.
Music's for everyone. I think that's, yeah.
Yep. So this album will, it talks about, like, discipline, like bondage and discipline, some more extreme physical things that people do, like including fisting. There's, like, the side of going to Mardi Gras, like in Lycra or not, and celebration of leather, and there's great music and overall great production. It just does sound rich, so I'm sure that enough people will want to buy it and appreciate it when they get it.
Thank you very much. Well, hopefully it'll inspire more people to create and to write and collaborate and just, you know, have pride in who you are and what you do, and you know, don't let anyone tell you nothing, you know, it can't be done.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want. That's the fundamental message. The fundamental message is yes.
Great. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Seymour.
Thank you for your time. I very much appreciate it. And, you know, public radio rules. Keep Triple Z going.
Good on you.
Important.
Yep. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
If anyone wants to get, you know, in contact, if they're a musician and, yeah, want to get involved, there's email inside the album. So it's just simply A Gay in the Life at Gay. So, yeah, get in contact to be sweet.
Yep, well, we can put you on our contact list on our website as well.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Seymour. See you soon.
Have a beautiful afternoon.